Now we begin this time of when we had the appearances of Jesus for a week, the different times that Jesus showed himself. Now we're going to learn how he shows himself to us. And we're learning this to prepare for this fresh outpouring on the church of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, for which we should be praying for us and for the whole church. And that's why we have, as you know, this famous novena between the Ascension and Pentecost. Doesn't work out exactly now because the Ascension is not on a Thursday, it's on a Sunday. Imagine, there was a time when people just took Thursday off, Holy Day of Obligation. That was before money was the biggest thing in the world. And we'll continue to see the life of Christ lived in the church so that we can get an understanding of who we are. They come back today after having witnessed, and the whole community praises God, and the house shakes. And they go out and preach boldly. They're not afraid, even though these two fellows just came back from jail. That's normal. And if we pray, that'll be normal for us. Nicodemus. He's probably one of this famous family, Nachdimon ben Gurion, about which we have a good amount of information. John mentions him two other times on chapter 7 and at the burial. At chapter 7, he seems to be defending Jesus. At the burial, he's bringing 100 pounds almost of spices. He's obviously declaring himself. This family, Nachdimon ben Gurion, was famous in Jerusalem, very, very wealthy, and very observant. Most of them were Pharisees, which means they belonged to this very observant, very strict group, some of whom got exaggerated, as you know, and some were enemies of Jesus. But the family, this family, was many Pharisees in this family. It's like saying many charismatics today. You know, it's just a kind of Jew. It's not a bad guy, though a lot of them turned out to be bad guys. And he comes in the evening. Our text says night. Doesn't have to be like midnight. He's probably coming in the evening to have time to discuss with Jesus. Business of the day is over. And this, one of the wealthiest men in Jerusalem, goes to talk to Jesus. So he's a good man. And he calls him Rabbi. This fellow from a very unprepossessing place, with no formal, what rabbi did he study under? He calls him Rabbi. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, because no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him. He gets it. But he's perplexed. Now, Jesus doesn't say, thank you very much, I'm glad for your support. He is the Son of God. So he begins right away to instruct him. Amen, amen, I say to you. Unless a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's saying, there's a lot more, Nicodemus. There's a lot more. What I have come to bring, you know, brings the whole law to a whole new level. You see the kingdom of God by being born again. We're born from above. You have to receive a whole new nature, or you won't see the kingdom of God. In other words, what you have, even though you're the most chosen of all the people on the earth, it's not enough. You have to be born again. You have to have a whole new life given to you, a whole new nature, if you will, given to you. What we've got is not enough to see the kingdom of God. Now, he answers, how can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Now, this does not have to be some sarcastic remark. This is a rabbinic dialogue. You take your interlocutor's statement and you push it to a most extreme conclusion. Now explain yourself. Is that what you mean? And then he explains himself. And so it doesn't have to be that he's a wise guy. This is typical rabbinic dialogue. Now our Lord explains what he means. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter, not just see now, enter the kingdom of God. That, my friends, is the mystery of baptism. Do you say, well, I, you know, go down into water and come up again, and I have a whole new divine life? Yes. Yes. That's the whole point. Well, that's, I mean, there's no relationship. No, there isn't. But God established the relationship. See, we're used to sacraments, but again, it's one of those notional ascents and not a real ascent. Do you really know what this is saying? See? God is saying, unless you are born of water, you do not see the kingdom of God. Oh, God, I mean, that's a detail, isn't it? I mean, you know, water, not water. The whole world of sacraments begins to take your breath away. Are there good people, you see, who are what's called baptism of desire? If they knew, they would be baptized. But they're searching, and God has respect for that. But this is, you are born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, and that is the Word of God. But it's the Word of God that you hear for a long time and finally are brought in, and that's the Word of God that baptizes you. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole Word of God, which is the gospel, coming to bear on this sacrament. For us, this is a whole new world. And it's going to be, see, we're going to do this, then we're going to go on to 6 in John, the Eucharist. You mean to tell me that God gives divine life to people if with a good heart they are baptized? Yes. That's the whole point. Why? Because God himself has become incarnate and endowed material reality with a dignity it could never have had. Because, you see, in every baptism, it's Christ who baptizes. The sacraments are the actions of Jesus Christ in and through his body, the church. Remarkable. The awe of this. The water, oil, bread, wine, hands, voices, mediating divine life. Because the church is the body of Christ. The church is the physical presence of Christ on earth. What dignity that gives to matter? Yes. So how do we treat our own bodies? What do we eat? What do we do? Do you realize, don't you know that your body, Paul tells us, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? This is such a wonder. You see, what a wonder that it would be like this. And then our Lord finishes for today. The wind blows where it wills. You see, you know when the Lord is present, but you can't control it. Which is, you see, the exact opposite of all the New Age exercises. Sit on the floor, breathe deep, cut your carrots at a 45 degree angle, recite Om Shanti, Om, or whatever, and you'll meet God. No, you won't. If you work hard at it, you might come in contact with your capacity for God and think that that's divine. No, it's just your capacity for God. How do you do it? You get baptized. Oh, my heavens. You mean, I just go down in water, I just get the priest pour water on my... I mean, there's no proportion. Absolutely no proportion. That's the whole point. What gives the proportion is that this is an act of Jesus Christ in and through his body, which is the church. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that marvelous? That's why we take all that time to prepare people. And why nowadays, thank God again, baptism is not just little water on the head in the corner. It's a sacrament. Well, it's always a sacrament, but it's a real expression, huh? We have a principle in theology, sacramenta significando causant. Sacraments cause insofar as they signify, not quite insofar. That's why every Mass has to be beautiful. Every Mass has to be, because the sacraments cause as they signify.